Natural Resources to order. And although you heard that we are closed, we are open. We will close after this. We'll open our work session on Senate Bill 844A. Senator Deckard, and I understand you have amendments that we have just received.
Can I bring up four people? That was
sure.
We brought some.
You can bring whoever you like. Maybe it's better if they all just come up. And it sounds like it's pretty lengthy, but it sounds like you did a lot of work on this.
Yeah, whoever, Jack, okay. You
want to
come up?
Okay. My piece,
I'll sit right off
my piece of it is very short, so I'll be happy.
Well, thank you and welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ryan Deckert, just very glad to be here. I think, is this your last bill for...
It is.
Wow, well, we're excited. So what we did, Madam Chair, you heard the bill before you. There was at least some folks that had a little bit of pause with two of the sections. So what we did at your request is we went out and I thank them. I was a little bit concerned at the late, but they spent 4 or 5 hours after the hearing that we had Wednesday morning through the lunch hour working on the amendment that you have before you, which is the Dash A4 amendments, which we think further refines and now has brought in everyone that has shown an interest, and happy to report that I think we can all nod our heads in consensus that we've clarified all the areas that were of concern. And with that, maybe I'll introduce Mr. Foltz from the counties, Mr. Monroe, and Mr. Powell from the insurance industry, and the gentleman from animal control, and I'll move to the back.
Oh, well. Thank you. You guys can form a committee.
Gordon Foltz with the Association of Oregon Counties. Again, we worked on this for several hours, and I think you heard from us Tuesday or Wednesday about our concerns with the prescriptiveness of the way the bill was worded. We've taken care of that, but we've continued to make it a statewide offense to have a dangerous dog, which is, I think, what the concerns was. We also have continued the offense of having a potentially dangerous dog. So that's all taken care of, but we were able to work the bill in a way that basically prescribes those, but it does not have all the details and the concerns that were going to cost mostly the rural counties some funding. So, and I think we've taken care of some other issues that perhaps the insurance industry wants to talk about, strict liability. Jack, you want
to? Sure, I'll be happy to. And again, I will also be brief. I'm Jack Monroe with the American Insurance Association. You heard from John, I think, whenever it was Wednesday, and who expressed some concern about the strict liability provision and what might flow from that, and there's no need to go over that today. One of the things that we had noted, in addition, I think, to the problem with strict liability was that it was inconsistent with the rest of the bill, which had been directed toward defining potentially dangerous dogs as dangerous dogs, and then had a series, obviously, of things that flowed from that, from those definitions. And so one of the suggestions we had was that the strict liability provision needed to be made consistent with the rest of the bill, and we believe that to be the case with the new Section 1 in your Dash A4 amendments. We had noticed a couple of other things that were wrong with the language there, such as an assault. An assault technically is something against a person, not against a dog, and so that language has been clarified here and is consistent with the rest of the bill in terms of using provoking language. So we think that the A4 amendments, at least as it relates to the strict liability provision, are a considerable improvement and solve the problems that we had noticed with the earlier version.
Anybody else want to testify? Do we have any questions from the committee? Representative Boquist?
I just want to make sure John nods his head.
Yes.
On board with this.
On board with this. Okay.
And the senator is good with it.
Any other questions? Do you have any questions?
Yes, thank you.
Representative Burley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What I'm still grappling with is, why do you feel we need to have a potentially dangerous dog? I mean, one thing, one could argue that all dogs are potentially dangerous, but we've already got statute dealing with public nuisance and dogs running at large, etc. I mean, it seems to me that we either go from public nuisance to dangerous. Why do we have to have potentially dangerous? That's one question. And secondly, I'm looking for the register portion of this, which looks like in the dash 4 it's out. Is that correct? And the other thing from the last hearing on this that I was looking for when I read the dash 3 is the question about what supersedes what. In other words, if we've got a local ordinance, city or county ordinance, does this supersede that or not? And I couldn't find anywhere in the bill that addresses that.
Let me, if I might, Madam Chair, President Hurley, answer that part of the question. What we have done is we've written the definition of dangerous dog to apply, which will supersede everything. So that is satisfactory to that. We had three counties, and I didn't poll every county that had an ordinance, but three counties who have ordinances that agreed that that was the right thing to do, so that it's universal across the state. With regard to the potentially dangerous dog and other provisions in here, their ordinances can still address and tweak some of that language, because that language is written in 609. So they have the ability through 609.015, that's a particular provision that allows them to deal with those other issues. But the dangerous dog is universally applied. So we feel very comfortable, and I don't believe that the rewriting that will be necessary for some of those counties is going to be monumental at all. I think it will be just a minor tweak for those counties that already have ordinances to deal with that. At least I've been assured by our folks that that's generally the case. So that's the first question. Now, on the second question, the potentially dangerous dog, I think, has come up in discussions prior to my involvement, but it seems to me it is the way we've placed it in the statute is in the public nuisance area. So it's another classification in public nuisance with a little bit different criteria than was there before. And I think there was a feeling by those folks who were involved in it that they needed to have that little bit of escalated above public nuisance, because that is one of the criteria that we utilize to determine whether the dog is ultimately dangerous, is whether they've had a prior conviction, if you will, of being potentially dangerous. So that was the reason, at least that I had heard, that it was included.
Well, yeah, but I'm sorry, I'm just not convinced. I mean, I if a dog has teeth, it's a potentially dangerous dog to bite somebody. I'm just not convinced why we have to have an additional classification and with what we've already got.
Madam Chair,
yes,
I'm Phyllis Morris with Marion County Dog Control.
Right,
and I'm the supervisor there.
Okay.
Representative Burley, potentially dangerous dog, a lot of times there are circumstances, like you said, any dog has the potential to bite given enough stress or circumstances. A potentially dangerous dog, there are cases where a dog will go out and it might be a corgi and it's running down the streets, first time it's been out of the house. It's stressed because it's away from home, maybe it's lost its way, and somebody comes around the corner and the next thing you know the dog is frightened and it thinks it's in a situation where it needs to bite and get away, and it does so, and it's never done anything like that before, and it just happens to be out of the house. I mean, we do have those types of cases, and so it gives individuals, you know, the chance to A, repair the hole in their backyard, fence, or, you know, do something to keep the kids from letting the dog out the front door. And that way, you know, if you have a case where a dog has never been out before and it's frightened to death and it gets into a situation where it's very scared, and it doesn't hurt in the matter of, you know, a very severe injury, but the person is still fine. They are told to confine their dog. They're given restrictions. They're noted the seriousness of the incident. And at that point, it's taken care of. It's not necessarily that dog will do that incident again. And the majority of cases we see like that go away.
Is there anybody else who wants to answer that? Or Senator Jeff?
Madam Chair, the only thing that I, and I A, think this is probably the biggest panel I've ever seen in a legislature. we're up to about eight here. The only thing that I would add is that I felt, as they worked through the iterations of this in the meetings, I felt like they found the right balance on that issue by putting it, the language that they built around it, the reasonable person standard, and how they really separated it out, and the whole county issue of making it subservient to any city or county. I really felt like they put the most modest, but listening to the counties and to the vets and to the animal control folks, listening and finding that right balance and giving real definition and a reasonable person standard, to me, that's where you reach the consensus around that. And I think I wish Larry Sowell was here, because I think he was really the one that helped guide that particular section and finding that right balance on that issue, which I think is a legitimate issue. But I watched this work group as they moved and how they, I thought, found the right area for that potential issue.
Great. Any other questions? Representative Boquist?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'd just like to be able to highlight, if someone can tell me where the county out is. If the county, I'm just going to remember where that...
The statute reference is not here, and by the fact that it's not here, it means it's still intact in the ORS, and it's 609.015. Provides that a county can opt out of that which is under 609, again, everything but dangerous dogs, with an ordinance.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much. I think what we want to do, and because we're closing, we want to move this to the another committee, which we have to go through the process. So I'm looking for a motion for that.
Okay. I will make that motion.
Okay.
I think that they have done a great job. Right. I really like this bill. I want it to happen, and I don't want it to die with the end of our committee. So I will make the motion, Madam Chair. I move the Senate Bill 844A without recommendation to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs.
Okay. I've got a motion to move Senate Bill 844A to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs. Is there any discussion?
I just want to say that I appreciate what everybody's done too, and I, you know, aside from the potentially dangerous issue, I mean, I'm going to support this bill because I know that the dangerous dog aspect is very real and something we got to deal with. But I would have liked to have gotten involved earlier, made an argument better not to do the potentially dangerous classification. But all of that notwithstanding, I'd like to see it move as well. So.
I mean, after having heard the people, I think potentially dangerous is an important criteria to move next to dangerous. Because as I look at it right now, a dog could escape, do something, and automatically become a dangerous dog, when in fact, it really hasn't been. I think the discussion that we have here says that it potentially could be. I mean, it got out in a situation it shouldn't have been in, it wasn't used to, this animal made a mistake, and it didn't cause a lot of damage. But if that people need to know the next level, that if you let their dog out again and it does something else, it could be more dangerous. And I think that is a good distinction. Counties and other people clearly know, and owners, before there's a real danger, that, you know, the next time his dog gets out, it's probably going to move up to dangerous dog. So I think that this committee's done a really good job of coming up with the kind of things that will make it work, personally. So I,
I agree, too. Representative Hass?
Well, Madam Chair, just a little conflicted here. Our dog, Gilbert, who has met Beckert, and I believe them to be friends, potentially could lick someone to death. But because they have that relationship, I'm going to support it. Cross my fingers and hope for the best.
Thank you.
Be
a nice way to go.
Representative Byer?
Yeah, and I want to see this bill go, too. I think it's important, and as I listened in the last hearing to someone talking about his little dog running and barking after somebody, I will tell you those little dogs scare me worse than the big dogs, because you just they can sneak up on you. So I'll have to watch out for your dog, you know.
he's a great bird dog.
And I do agree with the potentially dangerous piece. I do think it needs to be there.
Thank you. I think so, too, and I want to thank you for bringing this important bill, and for lack of time we need to pursue this and make sure that everybody's read the amendments and agrees with that. So I'm hopeful that we will proceed with this. So there's no further discussion. The clerk will call the roll.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Did you want to adopt the dash A4s?
Well, we haven't had time to read them all through, and that's why I didn't want to. Otherwise, I would have.
They are the right things, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I think the A4s are okay.
Good. That's important. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Beyer?
Aye.
Representative Boquist?
Aye.
Representative Burley?
Aye.
Representative Taft?
Aye.
Representative Roblin?
Aye.
Representative Sumner?
Aye.
Chair Smith?
Chair votes aye. Unanimously, we have passed Senate Bill 844A to the State Committee on State and Federal Affairs. Thank you very much. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 844. Thank you very much. Committee, before you go, I want to tell you this is our final committee meeting. And if you could wait just a minute. Okay, thank you. I want to thank you all for serving. Doing a great job. I think we've been a good committee. I've had many compliments through this session about what a great committee. You've represented us very well. The state of Oregon has done better. And I'm just have been proud to have been your chair. So thank you very much for serving. And with that, we are adjourned.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.